Good evening, Saints, and this continuation of our talks on prayer.
Amen. Amen.
In this springtime, well, this summertime, and I told the brothers that maybe after this tonight, we can take a selah, a little break from these Tuesday night times. It is not for the lack of burden, but there are similar needs in Southern California, where I am. And some have told me, you spend so much time with Northern California, you don't care for us down here, your hometown. Or your home area. And I think there's some truth to that. So we will have a pause. We'll see how the Lord would lead as far as these kind of talks are concerned. Well, tonight I like to come back, as it were, to, you may say, an important base or basis related to our prayer or prayer life. And, you know, I follow these prayer burdens every day from beseeching.org, and I know I've been selling that website to you, but I'm still concerned some of you are not following it. Now they are translating that into Russian, and it seems that it is useful to many, many saints, and it's not only to us here in the U.S. So I would just encourage you, brothers and sisters, to subscribe. I sound like some YouTube person. Subscribe to my channel, you know, or give me a thumbs up or something. No, I'm here really to help you to, this is a very, very good website, and the material are just have been culled and curated for you from the best of the best in the ministry. Brother Ni and Brother Lee, on various rich aspects of prayer. And I always have said here that we're in the school of prayer. And I hope that after this summer school that we have on these Tuesday nights, you at least would have finished a course, you would have pass the test, you would have learned something. And by that, I do not mean you learn just some doctrines or some truth or some points. By that, I mean you learn through doing, that you are doing it, that you are doing it. The doing is the real learning. The doing is what makes these lessons worthwhile and effectual. So I would say one thing that would be characteristic and not a good one of us, of the saints, even of the churches, is that we know more than we do. We know a lot, you know, in the recovery, we just know a whole bunch of things, you know, wonderful things, by the way, scriptural things of the Word of God with the help of the constant ministry. Well, we need that for our food, for our supply, for our enlightenment. Absolutely, we need that. But compare to that, our doing, our applying of what we know or what we've picked up, is really, really not a match. It's really, really behind. And so I feel in this new turn in the Lord's recovery, this advance in the Lord's recovery in our church life, one of the main thing is we need to balance our knowing with our doing. James, as gray as he was regarding God's economy, that's true, but he did have a good word to say. And that is, if we just know and we don't do the word, then we're dead. We will just have a kind of a dead knowledge. We cannot be just the knowers of the word. We must be doers of the word. And I always remember that parable by the Lord about building a house on sand or on rock. And the difference between the two is simply this. One hears the word and does not do it. The other one heard the same word and did it. And there is a day and night difference there. One is building on a rock, the other is building on sand. Dear saints, if we just know, we just retain the knowledge, I will say it's like sand. You pour water on it, it will disappear. And when the flood comes, when the wind blows, the storm blows, you know, when the rain drops, you know, these are the three direction of tests from man, from Satan, and from God. Soon our works will be tested in these three directions. And great is the fall of the house that is built on sand. And that means this person, he knew, he heard the word, but he never practiced it. He never applied it, and therefore that word is really not yet his reality. It's really not yet his. He didn't own that word because he failed to practice the word. I would say in this new season of the Lord's move, one characteristic among us should be we are doers. We, so to speak, walk the talk, you know, that you know, famous phrase, we walk the talk. We don't just talk, we walk it. Words are cheap, as they say. Action speaks louder than words. You know, all these kind of pithy sayings has truth to them, even applicable to our spiritual life. Brothers, let's do. Yeah, I mean, if we go do it, we have so much to do because we've learned so much. We accumulated so much over decades through this conference, through the books, through so many things. But compared to our doing, we are behind. We really are behind. The God-ordained way is not for us to know. The God-ordained way is for us to walk in it. So, brothers, how about, and sisters, how about we make a resolution before the Lord that going forward, we will be doers of the word. We will apply the word of God. We will experience these things rather than just be contented or satisfied in learning them and understanding them, or even just saying amen to them in agreement. But it is still not ours yet. Okay, now tonight, this very basic things that I come back to would be embodied in these two verses in John. And these are popular verses that we all know. And I am inspired by this week's prayer burdens and ministry portion from beseeching.org. That's where I get my inspiration. One is John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are our spirit and our life. So here, the idea is very, very clear. Number one, only the Spirit gives life. And the Lord himself, after passing through the processes of incarnation and crucifixion, human living, crucifixion, and resurrection. And in his resurrection, he changed his form. He was transfigured from the blood, from blood and flesh, and to what? To becoming a life-giving spirit. What a term, what a designation. It is not anything but life-giving. This Spirit gives life. And simply speaking, this Spirit is simply the pneumatic Christ, the resurrected Christ, the Christ in resurrection, the transfigured Christ. Today is the Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And this Spirit gives life. All right. Then it says the flesh profits nothing. The flesh, the things of the flesh, the things in the flesh. No need to say fleshly things. All things of the flesh, in this context of John 6, refers to food of the physical body, the physical food that we eat to sustain us. And these Jews or these people that followed the Lord, they were looking for miracles. They were looking for just, he would just turn, a few loaves into a lot of bread for everyone to eat. So they followed the Lord for that kind of food, physical food. The Lord says, no, that flesh, that food profits nothing. For a while, it profits your body, it sustains you. But in the long run, really speaking, it doesn't profit you. The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and life. The words of the Lord are the real food. They are the real life supply. They are the real life sustenance. That is the eternal life, the bread of life, the water of life, all this eternal food, all this spiritual food, which is really, again, the Spirit of the Lord or the Lord's Spirit. Through coming to us through the words that he speak to us. You see what I'm saying? So when the Lord speaks to us, not only in those days when he was on the earth, but today when the Lord speak to us in and through his words, all right? These words are spirit and life. They are spirit and life. They give life, right? They dispense the Spirit. They give you life. Now, the words here is the word rhema. It's not the word logos. Logos is the constant word, the word in the Bible. This is the logos word. But here it is the spoken word, the words that I have spoken to you. This is the living word. This is the rhema word. The rhema word. That means this is the instant word, that the word that the Lord speaks to us, not just a word that we study, not just a word that we read, not just a word that we understand and comprehend. We need that. We need that. We need the Logos word. We need the Bible. Am I right? But these are the words that are not just those words. These are those words, the Logos word, that have gone through a process to become the Rhema words, the living words. The black and white has become the Rhema, the living instant words of the Lord speaking to us. That word, those words, those living words, gives life. And they are spirit and life, then they are life-giving. Now to complete the thought, we need the next verse. And that is chapter 15 of John, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. All right. So this chapter, which is on fruit bearing, a lot of people say this chapter is on abiding. No, this chapter is on fruit bearing. And for fruit bearing, we need the abiding. So the abiding is not the end. Fruit bearing is the end for the Father's glory and that our joy may be full. So if you abide in me, all right, abide in me. And early on, it says, I in you. This is a mutual abiding. If we abide in the Lord, he will abide in us. This abiding simply means a life of fellowship, a life of union and communion with the Lord. Of course, we are already joined to the Lord. We are a branch in himself as the vine. So we're joined with him. But experientially, we need that joining to become what? Real to us, become practical to us. And for that, we need to abide in him. We need the experiential joining to him and in the experiential joining of him to us. Whenever we see the word in, it means what? It means oneness. It means a joining. It means a kind of fellowship. It means a kind of union, all right, and even a kind of communion. That's why we use the word fellowship. So if you remain in fellowship with me, if you are joined to me experientially, and then I will be joined with you, and I will be in you, I will be in fellowship with you, then you can bear fruit. And that is the only way that you can bear fruit. We see this in verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from the Lord, apart from being one with him, join with him, mingle with him, we cannot bear any kind of fruit. So, but in verse 7, it says there's a change. If you abide in me, if you would remain in me, my words abide in you. Now, it is not I in you. Now, it is my words. And bear in mind, the words here are also Rhema, not Logos, but Rhema. That means the spoken word, the instant word, the present word of the Lord, the living word of the Lord in us. All right, my words will abide in you. Then it says, when the Lord's living words abide in us, his speaking is in us. When the Lord's speaking is in us, what happened? That means the Lord is in us. He is in those words. And when these words are abiding in us, that means spirit and life are abiding in us. Then it says, ask whatever you will. And here now we bring in the thought of prayer. Because our burden here is talking about prayer. This asking here is simply the prayer or the intercession or the petition. Ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. When the words, his rhema words abide in us, just in us and one with us and mingle with us, we can ask whatever we will. My goodness, this is quite a promise. Whatever we will. That doesn't mean you ask for a pay raise. That doesn't mean you ask for a new car. That doesn't mean for... It means whatever you will because of the words abiding in you. Actually, that asking is what? Is the repeating of those living words that is abiding in you. That asking is simply the breathing out of what has been breathed into you, into us. The Lord's speaking, living speaking within us, coming to us, is what? Is his word becoming the spirit in us, right? And when we ask and to mingle with us, and when we ask or when we pray, it is the spirit in us becoming the words in our mouth to pray, breathe out, in a sense, back to God, back to the Lord. It made a round. It made a round. The word of the Lord coming to us, right? Firstly, the Logos word outside of us. We comprehend that word. We study that word. We understand that word, and so on and so forth. Okay, and then when this word comes into us, it mingles with our spirit. It becomes spirit and life within us. It becomes spirit and life within us, and that is the Lord's very present speaking. It's no longer just a verse in the Bible. Now it's the Lord speaking that verse in the Bible in the living way, present way, right now in me, you see. And that speaking in me is just spirit and life giving life to me. Then what is prayer? Prayer is when that spirit and life within me, what is understood by me, deciphered by me, understood by me, interpreted by me, and what with the exercise of my spirit and even my mind, I utter those words that the Lord has spoken in the present living way within me in the form of prayer back to him, back to the Lord. Because this is asking him. Of course, it is also asking the Father. And it says, and it shall be done for you. Why? Because this is no longer you have a need and you pray for something, or you want something just out of yourself without the Lord speaking. No, this is a prayer that is actually the Lord's prayer in you and through you. Prayer is just us speaking the words that he has spoken to us. Did you hear that definition? Prayer is simply us speaking what he has spoken to us back to him. That's real prayer. That's real prayer. Now, tonight, you know, I have been particularly intentionally not use the word pray reading. Because once I use that right away, you have this idea. Oh, pray reading. Okay, he's onto pray reading again. No, I forget about pray reading. I mean that word, that term. Just listen to me. I'm talking about a process here. The process here. And of course, one prevailing way to practice, experience this process is what we call pray reading. Now I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that no wonder the best prayer, the sure way to pray, the solid way to pray, the rich way to pray, the powerful way to pray, is simply to pray the word of God, but not just in the form, If you abide in me, amen. If you abide in me, amen. Not that is just a formality. That is just a kind of a form that you do. No, you and I have to learn to come to the word, this word, the Logos word, okay, the black and white word of God, because this is the source of the Lord's living speaking. If you don't read the Bible, if you don't know the Bible, let me tell you, it's hard for the Lord to speak in you. Let that sink in for a moment. It's hard, people who don't read the Bible, it's hard for the Lord to speak in them because they don't have the word in you. So that's why we need actually Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, right? Here it says, my words abide in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I think that word is, there is Logos. You can go and check. So we need this black and white word, this wonderful Bible, right? By our praying, and this is not asking, this is merely our breathing in, our receiving this Logos word by means of prayer. You know, this is again, you also have to bring in Ephesians 6 to take the sword of the Spirit. Which spirit is the word of God? By means of prayer. So the best way to receive the word, to receive the Logos word, is to receive it by means of prayer. That prayer is not yet asking, interceding, supplicating, not yet. That is simply us praying the word in, receiving this Logos word in. Now, if we do that properly, we have the proper kind of prayer reading, not as a form, not as a technique, not as a formula. We really are there exercising our spirit from deep within, our breathing organ. We really breathe the word of God inside into us. If you abide in me, O Lord Jesus, if you, Lord, abide in me. You see, you are there not doing your prayer reading of the day. You are there, really there with your whole being, receiving the Logos word. And that prayer, that process will turn that Logos word into Rhema word, into spirit and life in your spirit. You know, people don't know what we're doing, pray reading, amen, amen. You know, if you abide in me, amen. No, we are actually, we found the secret to receive the Logos word of God into our spirit, our inner being, right? So that that word would what? Would dwell in us, would abide in us, would live in us, would be mingle with us, would permeate us, would fill us, that word. What word? No longer just the Logos word, but the spirit and life word, the Rhema word. It just sinked in. It just gets in. It just permeated. Then you say, what? Then what happened next? Well, after this word dwells in you richly, right? And sometimes it's not just the word you pray read that morning. It's words that have been dwelling in you richly, in an accumulated way over years, maybe over decades. Though that word is in you. And because you have such a rich deposit, you have such a rich reservoir of this word of the Lord within you, the Spirit will what? Will use those words, those abiding words, not the Bible, but the words that have gotten in and staying in you and abiding in you to give you the thoughts. And sometimes even to give you the utterance to pray when you need to pray or when you have the burden to pray. The Spirit within us has his mind, the mind of the Spirit. The mind of the Spirit. He knows the mind of the Spirit. That Spirit has a mind, the groaning Spirit, with words that we cannot utter, we don't know how to utter. That Spirit has a mind. And that mind would use the words, some words to convey it through our prayer, so that our prayer is of the Spirit. Our prayer is from the mind of the Spirit. And that mind is something very present. It's right now. When I grew up in an Episcopalian church, go to this cathedral, and benches, whatever you call it, they have this big, thick Anglican prayer book, you know, Episcopalian, big, thick prayer book. They have hymn book, then they have prayer book. You open this book, it's, my goodness, it's just pages and pages of prayer, of prayer. And so today, the reverend would turn to some section, and then it's all laid out. The person up there would read this, and then it says the congregation will respond by saying a one-liner, and then he will say something else. There's another one-liner, and then sometimes it's pretty long. It's a number of minutes to go through that kind of prayer ritual. Brothers, that is absolutely not prayer. That is just reading something. Well, there's the word of the Lord there and so forth, but that is not what we're talking about. That is religious prayer. That is formal prayer. That is not the prayer that we are talking about here. That is prayer by recitation. That is prayer by memory. That is prayer by reading some black and white. No, we need to learn the basic of prayer. That is to pray what? To pray the Spirit's words, to pray the mind of the Spirit, to pray the Lord's Prayer, not Matthew 6, Lord's Prayer, but the instant and present prayer of the Lord. Through what? Through the words that have come into us and are abiding in us. And that Spirit is burdened. That Spirit is exercised. That Spirit is stirred up. And that Spirit, what? Will become, as it were, words. That Spirit will give utterance. That Spirit will become words, prayed out by us in our asking. You see? And that asking, brothers and sisters, is the mind of the Spirit. It is the burden of the Lord at this moment, at this hour. Then we can ask what we will, because whatever we will, we know is what the Spirit wills, is what the Lord wills. It's not what I will anymore. So whatever you will, the Lord said that, because he knows it is, you will be asking according to his will, and it will be done. Of course, whatever is according to the Lord's will surely be answered. So the picture is this. You know, we talk about breathing in and breathing out. So there's this two-step process. For the word to become Spirit, it's breathing in. It's breathing in. It's our breathing in. Brothers, that's why we need to really, really have a new experience, a new season of knowing what is to pray, read. Not in that kind of a common and formulaic way, but to really receive the word that is the Spirit by prayer we receive. And those words will become Spirit within us, abiding in us, and even his words abiding in us. Then what? Then The act of prayer is a breathing out. You follow me? The act of prayer, of intercession, is actually a breathing out. After we have breathed in, when now we breathe out what? Breathe out his will, breathe out his desire, breathe out what is in his heart. So, brothers and sisters, the word is indispensable in our prayer life. You know, some people say, I just pray, I don't read the Bible. There's no such thing. Your prayer will be poor. Your prayer will eventually just something from your own mind and even from your own imagination, even sometimes even just from yourself and from your flesh. No. Brothers, we need the word for a proper, normal prayer life. We need to know how to receive the word, to breathe in the Logos word. And then we turn to pray that word in a present living way back to the Lord, according to the Spirit's burden within us. You know, brothers and sisters, if you you are such a person, you know how to receive the word in this way, you will never run out of things to pray. You have so much word in you, deposited in you. You are a repository of the word. Not here, not just the doctrinal, the knowledge, the letter, right? We need that. There's nothing wrong. But no, not that. Not just that. Just to even know some truth, some points. But you actually breathe this word to become spirit in you. The word here is may not be spirit and life. It's necessary knowledge. It's divine knowledge. It's godly knowledge. But it's not good enough. It's not good enough until you pray it in. It has to come through your mind. You have to have understanding, but you must receive it by prayer into your spirit. Then again, you turn around by prayer. You what? Release that spirit. Which is the indwelling word, rhema of Christ, back to him. Brothers, this cycle, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out, is basically our Christian life. The breathing in is for our supply, right? The spirit of life, for us to receive life, for us to receive life supply, for us to receive so many things, the riches. But the breathing out is what? Is our serving him. Is our prayer. To carry out what he wants to carry out. And in this chapter, it's fruit bearing. It's fruit bearing. I have a burden that, you know, as far as the Lord's move in this country, the spread, the increase, the gospel, brothers, I'm looking to the Lord that we will very much emphasize the matter of bearing fruit, because this is organic, an organic thought. It's not a campaign, it's not this or that. It is everyone a branch that can bear fruit. And brothers and sisters, we're going to have to do a lot of asking to bear fruit. And for that, we need to know how to pray, how to ask. And this is the way for us to ask. So this is my burden tonight. I hope that you all would have small groups, twos and threes, especially small companions. Number one, to pray, read, quote unquote, to breathe in, to breathe in the word. My, just have even a whole session of breathing in. Then in twos or threes, you will also have sessions of breathing out. That means praying, interceding. You see, that prayer will fulfill the Lord's will. And surely there will be answer. It will be done. And I say again, particularly in this new season, to ask to bear fruit for the Lord. Even in the corporate prayer, you know, prayer meeting of the church, it is really not bad to start with some prayer reading. Not as a form, I'm not recommending this as a program. You know, today we have all these list of prayer items, you know, every church has a list. And so when we come together, we just get on the list, right? I'm not saying that's wrong, saints, I'm not saying that. But it is good to touch the word of God, you know, to let the word, even in those moments, abide in us. And then with that word, we can ask. A lot of times, you know, you use your own utterances and pray, you just don't feel it hit the mark. Your own words. But suddenly there is a feeling of a verse, Old Testament, New Testament. It's just instant. That is the rhema, okay? And you turn that word into prayer. You just feel it releases the burden. It just hit the mark. It just hit the mark. Not your word, but his word. But not from memory, but by having received it into you as the indwelling word. So that's what I have to share tonight. Now, this weekend is the conference, and I'm sure we all have been praying, and I really believe the Lord will use this time to advance his recovery in this country. After this conference, I think I mentioned to you, we will be spending 1 week on each message, so 4 weeks in September, in beseeching.org. So more or less, each week we will digest a message in the way of prayer, in the way of prayer. Be open to the Lord, and I trust the Lord will, not only through the speaking, but through all of our exercise and a collective breathing in and breathing out, the Lord would do much. Very practical, huh, brothers? It is most practical. I will tell you, I'm not saying I'm an expert or I have arrived, but all these years since I came to the recovery, basically this has sustained me. I may not be so clear about, like I describe it tonight, but looking back, this, I got into this virtuous cycle of breathing in, breathing out, starting when I was 17. And now at my age, I'm still doing this because this has become habit. This has become necessary, you know, necessary food, you know, every day. I don't know another way, a better way to really have a normal Christian life. If you do this, brothers and sisters, you'll be living, you'll be vital, and you will bear fruit as well.